Let's pray. Dear Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we join our hearts together and pray Psalms 1 or Psalms 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. Your words are, Lord, our spirit and life to us. We surrender to you, Lord. Please guide and direct our hearts and minds as we study the letter that you instructed your servant Paul to write to the followers of Jesus in Rome. Thank you for being with us right here, right now, as you promise in your word. Please speak to our hearts today. And thank you for Pastor Gary. Amen. Amen. I'll start out quick as we need to pray for Pastor Gary. We need to pray for our pastor, okay? We need to take him and put him on your list to pray for. He's in a battle. He works hard. He needs our prayers daily. He should be on your list. There's an old saying, and I believe it's a great old saying, is never judge a man until you have walked a mile in his shoes and felt the weight of his load. Well, this week, I walked maybe a fourth of a mile in Gary's shoes this week preparing for this sermon thing. And I, at the end of this week, I humbly and gladly return his shoes to him because they are way too big for this cowboy, I'll tell you that. So I've learned a lot this week, that preaching is hard and that Gary has a hard job and he needs our prayers, right? And his load is heavy. So please pray for him. And thank you, Pastor Gary, if you're listening somewhere. So we get into Romans today. I think it's such amazing and wonderful as we look at Romans as a book. And the God Almighty, the God who created you and I and created everything, that knows all and everything else, he saves Paul on the road to Damascus. And then he instructs him and inspires him, this faithful servant of him, to write this letter to the Romans. And my favorite thing about Romans, which there isn't very many after trying to figure it out this last week, but my favorite thing about Romans is, just like Paul was writing to the Romans back then, he's writing really to us, to all believers. You don't have to guess if that's for us, Romans. It is for us. It says it right at the beginning. He says this is for all believers in Rome and everywhere, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. So it's the same message written back there for them is written for us. The same good news, the same warnings, the same advice. Paul wrote it all down way back then, but it's for all of us right here. That's my favorite thing about Romans. Well, there is, like I said, there's a lot of great messages and lessons and information just in that little part that we're talking about today, Romans 2, 1 through 11. And frankly, I was pretty much overwhelmed looking at it. And as I told my wife, my brain went sideways a couple times this week. But that's okay. I think it's back where it should be. I hope. I had the privilege this week of spending Tuesday evening in Eau Claire at Applebee's with my younger brother, who I don't see very often. He's a pastor down in Nashville, Tennessee. And he preaches on a weekly basis. And it was nice to catch up with him and talk and stuff. And he knows that I am an amateur preacher sometimes on the side. And he asked me when I was preaching this. And I said, well, matter of fact, I'm preaching this Sunday. And he goes, oh, great. What are you preaching? And I said, Romans. And he gave me one of these. Oh, really? And I said, yeah. And he says, Romans is hard. And I said, yeah, tell me it's hard. But then he said, and then he asked me what I was preaching. And I said, Romans 2, 1 through 11. And he goes, oh, there's a lot there. How many times are you going to preach on it? And I'm like, oh, for about 20 minutes. He said, oh, well, good luck. I'll pray for you. So at least I had got his prayers for that. But and then as I drove home from there, it was late and it was dark and it was raining Tuesday night. But I felt a peace about speaking today, a comfort. I felt that it was God's will and God's plan for me to speak today, because I owed it to you guys. Because if Gary was speaking today, he would speak 3 or 4 hours on this subject. So you're only going to get 20 minutes. So I sat down and began preparing for this and praying about it and trying to decide, trying to research, write, read, and all those good things, and tried to come up and simplify and come up with 3 points that I think Paul really wants us to get out of this message. There's probably 100 in there. No, not 100. That's exaggerating. But there's a lot in there. So we're going to focus on 3 of them today. One is that there is a judgment day. 2 is that all people will be judged. And 3, that our actions and our deeds and our works and how we live our life is very important. Okay? And I want to thank you. I know many of you on our church council and my family have been praying that for me for today. And it helped. I know I felt it. Thank you. I appreciate it. So we'll start out. There will be a judgment day. Paul tells us in verse 5 of today's scripture, as Kathy read, that you're storing up for yourself wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. So, and he also kind of refers to the judgment day a little bit in other verses, 6 through 10. But I looked and did a little research that there's 70 times in the Bible, throughout the whole Bible, that God references or talks to or refers to the judgment or the judgment day that is coming. So if you believe in the Bible, it shouldn't be a stretch for you or whatever to believe that there is going to be a judgment day. He tells us there is going to be a judgment day. Now, there are a lot of questions about what that judgment day is going to look like or when it's going to happen. A lot of people have different opinions, and I'm not going to get into any of that today because everybody kind of has their own opinion. Now, I just want you to make sure that you know that there, and Paul wanted us to know that there is going to be a judgment day, and that there is one. So in the book of Revelations, numerous times, you know, it's the last book in the Bible, obviously it'd be a great spot to talk about the judgment day that's coming. And in Revelations 11:18, it says, the time will come for the dead to be judged. In Revelations 22:12, it says, he is coming to give every man, woman, and child what he deserves. And then probably the most famous judgment day scripture is also from Revelations, Revelations 20:11-15. Where John, in his revelation, paints us a picture of the great white throne and God sitting on his throne and the book of life being opened and so on and so on. But also throughout the New and Old Testament, God's word says there's many references, such as in Hebrews 9:27. Then, and is as much as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Then in the Old Testament, judgment day is brought up in chapter 7 of Daniel and 12, and in Psalms 98:9 it says, behold the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and its people with equity. My favorite is in the New Testament. Jesus teaches us of the coming judgment day with 2 different parables. Okay, there's the parable of the sheep and goats in Matthew 25, and then this one that you will really like, I think, is in Matthew 13, verse 47 through 50. God explains the judgment day coming to us like we were fishermen. A lot of us fish, okay? A lot of us like fish. It's the parable of the fishing net, okay? And I'm going to read that to you again. The kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught up all kinds of fish. When the net was full, they dragged it up on shore. When they got it up on shore, they sat down and sorted the good fish and put them in crates, but threw the bad fish away. This is the way it will be. Again, I'm reading right from the Bible. This is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous. And then they will throw the wicked people into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So as you can see, it's pretty straightforward and plain, and we need to believe that there is going to be a judgment day. Now, my second point that I'd like to bring today is that Paul makes it clear in his passage that we read today that everyone will be judged and that everyone will be judged fairly. In verses 9 and 10, Paul states that both the Jew and the Gentile will be judged. And that is everybody back then. Either you were a Jew or you were a Gentile. So that includes everyone back then. And in 9 and 10, he talks about that everyone and every human being will be judged and judged fairly. And then verse 11, Paul continues on to say, God does not show favor to one man more than another. So I look at 1 Samuel 16:7, and it says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearances, but the Lord looks at what's in the heart. So God isn't, when we go to judgment day and when we face judgment, God doesn't care if we're a Jew or a Gentile. He doesn't care if we're a man or a woman. He doesn't care if we're tall or skinny or short and fat. He doesn't care. He doesn't care if we're German or Norwegian. None of that matters. Even if we're either Democrat or Republican, he doesn't matter. It matters what's on it. Okay? Or if we're a king or a slave or we're first or last. God makes it very clear that he will measure and weigh us all on the same scale. He will use the same measuring stick on of us all. And he'll look on what's on our heart and our soul, not what's on the outside. There are many places in God's scripture where he reconfirms us and tells us that all people will be judged. Again, referring back to Psalms 98, he said that he will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. In Romans 14:12, he says, so each of us will give an account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 10:5-10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And Matthew 12:36, I tell you that everyone, all of us, each of us and everyone that ever was, will have to give an account on the judgment day. So now we have established two of our three points today. We have established that there is going to be a judgment day. And we have also established that you and I and everyone else will be judged on that day. And it will be fair. Okay? There won't be any side favors, no favoritism, no nothing. Okay? It's going to be fair. So thankfully, Paul doesn't leave us at that. He tells us that's what's going to be, and that's the way it's going to be. But then he also says, hey, this is how you can be ready. In verse 6, he says, God will repay each person, you and I, all of us, according to what they have done. Okay? Not who you are, not if you go to church on Sunday, not if you do this, not if you do that. He's going to judge you by what you have done. Okay? Psalms 62:12 talks about he will reward everyone in according to what they have done, whether to be good or bad. Proverbs 24:12 says he will repay all people for their actions. Okay? You got to be careful here and listen at exactly what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that our actions, our deeds, and our works and our how we live our life really does matter. Okay? It shows who we believe in. It shows what's inside of us. Our actions are a result of what's inside of us. If we have accepted Jesus' forgiveness and we love him and he has accepted us and forgiven us our sins, it will be shown in our actions, in our deeds. Okay? Be careful, I'm going to read you Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Well, that seems a little different than what Paul said or what I just said. So we need to listen to what Paul is saying and also what he's not saying. It's very important to understand this part. Paul is not saying that our deeds and our works and our actions and how we live our life daily will save us on Judgment Day. He's not saying that. But what he is saying is that our actions and our words and our deeds and how we live our life will be the evidence and the proof of our faith in Jesus. It will show that we have placed our faith in Jesus and accept his free gift of salvation and that Jesus has forgiven our sins. And this should be evident in our daily life, in our deeds. We should prove it by what we do, what our deeds are, and how we live our life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that when we accept Jesus, our old life is gone and our new life begins. He brings us out of the darkness into the light. There should be a change from when we didn't have Jesus to when we did. And that proves, and that is the evidence that happened. Okay? I like Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. It's a message from the Lord. It says, "I will give you a new heart, and I will put my spirit in you. I will take your old heart of stone and give you, take out your old heart of stone and give you a tender, new, soft heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and obey my commandments." So when we accept Jesus and we accept his forgiveness, Jesus changes us. He changes our heart. And he puts his Holy Spirit in us to help us love and obey. And I want to leave you with just a couple more verses just to show you also what I think that Jesus really shows that our actions and deeds are important in how we live our lives. I like how each state has the kind of their own motto. Like Minnesota is the land of 10,000 lakes. Tennessee is the, anybody? Volunteer state, thanks. My favorite, though, is Missouri. Does anybody know what their state motto is? That's Show Me State. Of course, everybody knows that's famous. And I think that Jesus was probably from Missouri, okay? If I had to pick, okay? Jesus says in John 14:15, he says, "If you love me, show me by obeying my commandments." There's the evidence, okay? That's what Paul's talking about. When you obey the commandments, it shows that you love God. It shows that Jesus is in you, okay? And then he goes on even to talk about it again in a couple of verses later in 14:20. He says, "If you have my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me." It's the same thing. It's very simple. There has to be evidence that Jesus lives in you and that he has forgiven your sins, or it hasn't happened. I like when Peter's dealing with Peter, excuse me, when Jesus is dealing with Peter, he asks him three times, "Do you love me?" in John 21, verse 15 through 17. He asks him three times, okay? And each time, Jesus said, "If you love me, show me." The first time he says, "Feed my lambs." The second time Jesus says, "If you love me, show me. Take care of my sheep." The third time, again, three times in a row, he says, "If you love me, show me. Feed my sheep." God's calling us to action, to show what we believe. If we truly believe and we truly love God in our hearts and we are saved from our sins, it should be very evident in our lives. Okay, I like 1 John 4:20 also. The Apostle John calls us out. He says, "If you love God, prove it by loving your brothers and others. Okay? Again, calling us to action. In 1 John 3:17 and 18, again, Apostle John calls us out and says, if you love God, prove it by helping your brother and sisters in need. And then verse 18, he calls us out again and tells us not to love with words or speech. This is a great one. But to love with action and truth. Again, if Jesus, and you've given your life to Jesus and he's forgiven your sin and you're going to heaven, there should be plenty of evidence in your life. He tells us that, okay? Our actions, words, and deeds truly do matter. They prove and show to God and everyone else that he has saved us. In conclusion, I want to review the three points that we talked about. One, we know that Paul tells us in Romans that there is going to be a judgment day. Two, we know that all of us are going to be part of that, and we are all going to be there, and we're all going to have to give an account for us. And number three, our actions and our deeds and how we live our lives, all our works, okay, are important. They're going to be the evidence for which we are judged. Because when we get there, and if there's no evidence to prove what has happened in our life, you can put that together. Okay? If you haven't changed from your old habits to your new habits, if you haven't left from your old life to your new life, was there any change? Okay? So I think Paul is telling the Romans and us all this information so that we will be ready and we won't be surprised. It won't be we'll show up on Judgment Day and say, what's up? Okay? We'll show up on Judgment Day and we will know and we will be prepared. Okay? We will know when we step before God that he's going to look at your life and say, there's no evidence. You have done nothing to prove that you love me. You have done nothing, or you have. You've done this, all these great things in your life, and you've lived your life according to my commandments. Welcome home. Okay? Our faith in Jesus saves us, but our actions and our deeds and the way we live our life proves our faith. Okay? It proves our faith. Okay? So I guess it leaves it up to you. When you get to Judgment Day, are you going to be a good fish or a bad fish? Are you going to be a goat or a sheep? You want to be sheep. Okay? Are you going to be seeking God and good, like it says in our scripture today? Or will you be seeking yourself? Will you be self-seeking and rejecting the truth and following evil? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your letter that you wrote through Paul to the Romans and to us. I pray James 1:22, Lord, help us not to only listen to your word, but help us also to do what it says. Lord, may our lives and how we live our lives, our deeds and our actions and our words, show the world, but more so than ever, show you that we love you and that we have placed our hope in you, Jesus. Amen.